Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Bill Nye is the science guy and joins us live from Los Angeles. Bill, let's get right to it. We want to know why Jupiter. Why is Jupiter so interesting and worth studying?
Well, Jupiter might almost be a star. This is to say, whatever Jupiter's made of is the same stuff that you and I are made of and the same stuff that came out of stars.
Well, I'm made of marshmallows and goo, I'm pretty sure. That's not Jupiter. This spacecraft is...
Well, you're made of carbon and oxygen and nitrogen and all these happy things. Phosphorus, iron. All these things come from exploding stars. It is a remarkable thing that we should all take a moment and appreciate.
And Jupiter is...
We are made of stardust. We are made of the stuff of stars.
That, of course, is Bill Nye, the science guy, speaking recently on CNN. Now, he sounds a little poetic when he says it, but there is a theory here. It's a pretty standard boilerplate theory in cosmology about where the elements that make up most of everything that we think about as the world, like the Earth and ourselves, where they actually came from, where, according to the theory, they had to come from. We're going to talk about that theory, and we're going to respond to Bill Nye, the science guy's recent statement that we are made of stardust. Dr. Georgia Purdom will join us here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, we're going to be spending some time with Dr. Bill Weinrich, remembering 2nd century bishop and martyr Ignatius of Antioch. We'll listen to a little bit of the Issues Etc. comment line and respond to what you've had to say there. Dr. Peter Scare will join us in hour two. We'll talk about speaking boldly regarding marriage. That means saying yes, and it also means saying no, necessarily. After that, Dr. Adam Francisco will be our guest. We'll be talking about this Malaysian law. You might have read about this recently in Reuters, a Malaysian law that forbids Christians from using the word Allah. It is only for Muslims in that country. Of course, they're in the political majority there. We'll see what that's all about. And then we'll round off this day's Issues Etc. with George Conger talking about some media coverage of religion. The Washington Post did a story. He says it's a puff piece on the former Episcopal Bishop of Newark, the famous John Shelby Spong. And then we'll also talk about a French wire service story about the exorcism trial in Paris and the Seventh-day Adventists. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Georgia Purdom has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State University. She's a researcher, a speaker, and an instructor for Answers in Genesis. Dr. Purdom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be here. Thanks, Bob.
He tosses out a line like this, Bill Nye the Science Guy, that we are made of stardust, and it sounds kind of poetic. It sounds kind of fanciful. But there is a theory here about where the elements other than helium and hydrogen came from in an evolutionary view of the universe that's at work. What is that theory?
Well, what they have to do, I mean, it's basically the Big Bang, right? So 15 billion years ago, something exploded from nothing, and eventually you got the formation of everything else, right? Hydrogen, helium, lithium, all the things we have on our periodic table eventually came about as a result after, you know, that explosion. And so that means that everything, whether it be the planets or whether it be living organisms, in his mind at least, is composed of initial components from that Big Bang, that stardust, so to speak.
He isn't the first one. I think Carl Sagan used to say we were star stuff, didn't he?
I'm not really sure, but I know I heard Lawrence Krauss, who is also an atheist, basically said, I heard him one time say that the stardust in your right hand is probably different from the stardust from your left hand. In other words, it came from different places in the galaxy, what you're composed of.
Okay. What's a response to this? Because, I mean, in terms of the science, they say it all makes sense, that some of these elements could not be forged except under the pressures and temperatures that exist only in stars. And so a star had to explode before you and I could come along. I mean, that's what they say. How do we respond to this?
Well, again, we have to talk about, you know, what are our starting points for how do we know the truth about the past? Because they're going based on their ideas and their imagination about events that have happened in the past. Whereas for Christians, you know, we need to be starting with God's Word to base our ideas and our understanding of what has happened in the past. Because God cannot lie, and He's told us the truth in His Word. And, you know, what's amazing to me is I watched Bill Nye in the short interview he gave talking about this, that really the reason he was being interviewed was to talk about a rocket that was being sent to Jupiter. And that's a great example of what we call observational science. That's science that we do in the here and now. It gives us this ability to send rockets to Jupiter. We can test it. We can repeat it. We can observe it. That's very different from the type of science he talked about at the very beginning of that interview, which is historical science that deals with the past, that is unobservable, untestable, unrepeatable events. And so they're very different types of science, and historical science is very much based on what do you believe tells us the truth about the past, our own ideas that we've come up with or what God's Word says.
Okay, so really he's perhaps even unwittingly, but certainly doing what a lot of proponents of evolution will do, adherence to evolution will do. They play fast and loose with this, with the difference between observational science that you mentioned and can we call it storytelling?
Well, it is historical science. I mean, in the sense of it is talking about events that have happened in the past, whether you're talking creation or evolution. I believe their version is storytelling because, again, they're just going on what they think about the past. They weren't there, so they don't know. But yeah, you see this all the time where this, and I think sometimes it is unwittingly, but I think many times, especially in the case of Bill Nye, having seen him interviewed many times on this, it is a direct and purposeful mixing of both observational and historical science to get people to believe that, well, if you don't believe in evolution, then, you know, you can't be a doctor or you can't be a scientist or you can't be an engineer. And I think they do that on purpose to try to really to sell that story, so to speak, that they're the same thing when in reality they're not.
Is it also question begging in that they often, in fact, almost invariably assume that which they think or assume to be proven, that which they which really needs to be proven?
Right, exactly. I mean, they have to do that to, just like with radiometric dating, you know, just to take it as an example, you're having to assume certain things about the past in order to be able to calculate the dates. Even for radiometric dating, when you send a sample in, you have to tell them about what date you think it is to help them arrive at the date through their scientific, experiments. And so if it's truly, you know, and that's just not how good science is done, right? So that's a problem. So there's a lot of assumptions, and that's what people always need to look at when we look at these issues in dealing with events that have happened in the past. What are the assumptions that the people are basing their ideas on?
So would it be better if, or more honest of them, simply to say, look, we're operating with a set of assumptions, and here's what they are. These are not necessarily things that we've been able to observe. Mm-hmm. These are not necessarily things that we will ever be able to observe, but here are our assumptions. Now let's go on and talk about what our theory is. Would that be better?
It would be, but that won't happen. So, because again, this is more than just about science. I always tell people this is truly a heart issue because they don't want God to exist, and so that they can continue in their rebellion essentially against Him and do what they want to do. So they're going to treat this like fact, even when in reality they're assumptions.
This is what I've noticed, and I don't know if you've had the same sense. And this again, it's just kind of a sense on my part, and that is in popular science, the books that get written for popular consumption, and many of them are best sellers, there is an agenda to undermine the Christian worldview, in particular, the Christian worldview of creation, the origins of the universe and of life. Now, it's not often stated explicitly, but it's very difficult for me to read, and I've read a ton of these books, to read them without not that I feel personally attacked in it, without saying, would this person be writing this if they didn't understand the Christian worldview as the foil to their view?
Right, and I use the common example of looking at chimp and human DNA, because you often hear, because that's, you know, one of my areas of expertise, and so you often hear that, well, chimp and human DNA are only 1% different. But in reality, when you really look at this, no, they're more like 30% different. But you never hear that information brought to the public attention. I mean, the media, their agenda, again, is to sell you a particular story, and that story is one that God does not exist, and you did evolve from an ape, and so they're going to continue with that, even though evolutionists themselves are saying that it is more than a 1% difference. But again, it's that it's the popular idea, the thing that they want to sell, and they'll continue to do it even if it's blatantly false.
So are you convinced that, at least to talk in sweeping terms, perhaps overgeneralizations, that the media are do have the same agenda?
I would think so. I mean, even when it's funny, when my husband and I listen to the news in the morning, you know, we hear that liberal, basically, agenda very much coming through, that anti-God agenda. I mean, they can say they're being as unbiased as they want, but it's just not true. And how they say things, their body language, the tone they put with it, and the words that they say make it obvious that they have a certain position, and it is one, typically, that is anti-God and anti-Christianity.
Does it, whether or not they intend it to be, the scientists who popularize these ideas, like Bill Nye, does it also ultimately result in kind of a dehumanization? To say you are made of star stuff may have implications beyond just what your constituent parts are. It may mean what you are and of what worth you are, couldn't it?
I think you're absolutely right. It really devalues human life. I mean, and they can say all they want about how, well, I think Bill Nye said in the, it's a remarkable thing, you know, we need to take a moment and appreciate it. And I thought, what? That you're just the result of random forces that have come together, and the result of, you know, explosions billions of years ago, and that this life is all there is, and so essentially there's no meaning and purpose. I mean, that's really what we want people to believe. They don't follow through with it many times. They're not consistent with it, and if they would really look at this and see, what does that mean? Like you said, it does really devalue human life. Why is any human life really important and valuable if that's true?
So how would you summarize a good way of receiving and then responding to statements like, well, we are simply the product of blind evolution, and what you are made up of right now is just the product of billions of stars exploding over the universe. That's where you came from. What's the best one?
Well,
about a minute here.
I always ask people, first of all, why do you believe that? How do you know that? And many times I'll say, well, I read that in a book, or I heard a scientist say that. But then you say, well, how do they know that? Why do they think that way? And you really want to get back to, again, what are their starting points? How do they know the truth when it comes to the past? And to really challenge them on that, because let's face it, man wasn't there millions and billions of years ago. So how do they know that what they believe is true? I actually heard an evolutionist say, I think people that don't believe in evolution don't have enough imagination, or they don't have an imagination. And so that, to me, that was a really blatant remark, basically saying this is imagination. These are ideas. They, you know, and so that's really a problem with it. And these people are basing their ideas and what they believe off of that. Well, you know, we need to question that, and we need to show people what that leads to. What does that lead to as far as our life is concerned, our value, our purpose here on the earth, and help people see that that can only be found truly when we start with the Word of God.
Dr. Jorda Perlman has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State University. She's a researcher, speaker, and instructor for Answers in Genesis. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Perlman, thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll talk 2nd century bishop and martyr Ignatius of Antioch with Dr. Bill Weinrich.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, WittenbergAcademy.org, to find out more.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Issues, Etc. Reformation Week begins October 21st. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have five different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.